Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be moved, but abides forever. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people from this time forth and forevermore. For the scepter of wickedness shall not rest on the land allotted to the righteous, lest the righteous stretch out their hands to do wrong. Do good, O Lord, to those who are good, and to those who are upright in their hearts. But those who turn aside to their crooked ways, the Lord will lead away with the evildoers. Peace be upon Israel. Well, as you recall, as we left our study of Psalm 119, we were reminded by the psalmist that he viewed himself as a sheep that often was guilty of straying and in need of the shepherd to come after him and to protect him. And then we turned to Psalm 120, and we there were made acquainted with the psalmist who found himself living in the world and there surrounded by those who made a mockery of God's law, who didn't uphold it. And it ignited within his heart a desire to be with the people of God. And he longed to be in the city of Jerusalem, that place where God's people would dwell and worship together in his temple. And though the inclination of his heart was to go and to be in that place, in Psalm 121, we were confronted with those typical realities that face us. We know where it is we should go, and yet getting there and facing the difficulties that this life often throws at us can make us fearful, make it difficult for us to take that first step, to recall God's many promises that he is faithful. And he will see that our feet will arrive at that appointed place that he has prepared for us. And the pilgrim begins on his journey. And by Psalm 122, he arrives in the city and he is excited to enter into the gates, and he marvels at the city of David, at Jerusalem. He marvels as he walks around and he explores the walls. And he thinks of the security that is to be found in that place. And yet that is what we're dealing with again this evening. We're dealing with this matter of security. In fact, the message this evening is entitled, Secure Upon the Rock. And here we have the promise of God laid out in verse 1. Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be moved, but abides forever. We see here, brothers and sisters, that God is instructing us that those who put their trust in him will be like that city, will be like Mount Zion, unmovable. One of the things that had captured the attention of this pilgrim as he entered into Jerusalem and stood within the walls was just how secure and unmovable was Jerusalem. Jerusalem was an easily defended city. And so for the worshiper of God who came into that place, they were struck by its defendable towers. They were struck by the thickness of the walls. They were struck that from on top of that hill, they had a clear view of all of the surrounding area. That the enemies of God could not easily sneak up upon them. But it is important that we see here that it is the trust in the Lord That is, that which gives security to God's people. It isn't the city itself. It isn't the Mount Zion itself that is here what we are to place our trust in or upon. But our trust is in the Lord. And then he likens us to Mount Zion. Then he says, those who put their trust upon the Lord, you will not be easily moved. You will not depart. You'll be like that mountain, unshakable, undefeatable. But we know that in the time of Jesus, there were many who put their trust in that physical place, that put their faith in whether it was the temple or whether it was in Mount Zion itself. Their trust was wrongly placed in the outward things, in those types and shadows, rather than in God Himself. And so here we have the reminder that our security is founded in God and in Him alone, not upon these other things. As this mount looms larger, as the pilgrim comes closer, its strength strikes the pilgrim. And as he thinks in terms of this wonderful promise of God, here we have a picture of that which proves to be our assurance. This immovable object, this foundational stone upon which our lives are built, is Jesus Christ. It is in Him that we face the difficulties of this life. It is in Him that we face the trials and tribulations, the persecutions, the mockery of the world. And it is He that upholds us and keeps us from falling. Not only do we have this sense of being established upon the rock, but we also have pictured in verse 2 this idea of God surrounding His people, that even the rest of the geographic layout around Jerusalem attest to God's care for and protection of His people. For Jerusalem is surrounded by mountains all around. And these, again, are things which gave it a greater sense of security. It made it more defensible. And so here, those mountains that were well known to the pilgrims who had come into Jerusalem are here explained as the Lord's way of protecting His people, such that they would feel secure within His walls. God surrounds His people. And not only does He surround them, but we see by the time we come to verse 3 that though there will be difficulties that will fall upon the people of God, God does not abandon His people. In verse 3 we read, "For the scepter of wickedness shall not rest on the land allotted to the righteous." This doesn't mean that the wicked scepter wouldn't befall Jerusalem. And certainly as we look over the history of Jerusalem, time and time again, the enemies would come and they would lay siege to Jerusalem. And there were times when the enemy was victorious over Jerusalem, as in the time of Christ when Rome ruled over it. But there is an important reminder here that God will not allow the wicked to be victorious forever. I thought that is an important reminder for you this evening. Certainly, if you're following social media, or you're following the news media, as we're approaching the days of this election, everyone is trying to identify what life will be like on the day after and in these coming 4 years. Whether we will see in new and even more egregious ways the scepter of wickedness fall upon this land. And it's in times when there is such concern and even fear amongst people. It's important for us to go back and realize how God operates. That God will not allow the scepter of the wicked to remain upon the land. And why is that? Well, he says at the end, lest the righteous stretch out their hand to do wrong. As we see our culture descend and pursue evil things, as we see increasingly demands being made upon our citizenry to engage in or to say that behaviors are right, which God has said within His Word are sinful. Increasingly, God's people may feel under pressure to bow a knee to the authorities of this earth rather than to only bow a knee to Christ. And here we see the love of God expressed as He says He will not allow the scepter of the wicked to continue upon the land because He knows that you and I are weak clay vessels. He knows that in the face of great adversity, there is a great tendency that we have in our sinfulness to give in to those pressures, to follow the crowd, perhaps to even seek to convince ourselves that the only option we have is a sinful option. And that is not the truth. God does not leave us in a place where sin is our only option. God will never leave you in a place where you can justify acting in disobedience to His Word as your only option. You see, our hearts and our minds sometimes will make us fearful, thinking that that is our only option. Out of a fear of the pressure and the mockery and the penalties that we may face by those around us. But it's never our only option. And it's important that you remember that. So that no matter who wins the coming elections, no matter what direction, contrary to the Word of God, that they go, we are reminded that our security, our stability, our hope is found only in the Lord Jesus Christ. And our only option is to do those things which He has commanded, and to trust that if God has promised that He will not allow the scepter of the wicked to remain upon the land, that He will be pleased in His good time to lift the scepter of the wicked, even from this land. Why? Because the Lord doesn't want to see you begin to engage in sin. The Lord doesn't want you to despair and to begin to live as the world lives, to lose hope. But rather, the Lord would have you remember His promises, recall His goodness demonstrated time and time again throughout the life and time of His people. He has delivered us time and again, and God is faithful to do it again. The psalmist concludes this portion, this psalm, by pleading with God, "Do good, O Lord, to those who are good and to those who are upright in their hearts. But those who turn aside to their crooked ways, the Lord will lead away with evildoers. Peace be upon Israel. Brothers and sisters, God is always about this work of doing good to those who are upright in heart. God has begun a good work in each one who puts their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is faithful and He will continue to complete that work which He has begun. And that is a comfort to us, even in the midst of difficult times, even in the midst of the chaos, the protests, the darkness that seems to have descended upon our land. Yet God will do good to those who are good and who are upright in their hearts. Those who are upright in their hearts are those whose hearts have been made new by Christ. Those who have been outfitted in His righteousness. Those are the ones whom God is doing His good. But we see here also those who turn to their crooked ways, the Lord will lead away with evildoers. Certainly in the time of Christ, there were many who went through the motions only of doing what the law commanded. They boasted in their own righteousness. They had false assurances rather than trusting in Christ. And so those who merely go through the motions, those who pursue their own works, those who pursue the desires of their heart, God says, will be led in the same way away with the wicked. Their end will not know peace. They will not reside upon that rock that is unmovable. But they will suffer the eternal wrath of the God who has created all things, who is most holy. And they will rightly suffer it, for they did not place their trust in Him. They did not seek His face. They did not seek to do His will. They are lawless, wicked, living in rebellion to God. The psalmist begins this psalm by impressing upon us the strength of Mount Zion. It's being immovable. He ends with the cry for peace to be upon Israel. Brothers and sisters, as you look out around your community, across your nation, across the warring nations around the world, what is your prayer? Do you pray that God will bring peace? That God will be pleased to see the gospel go forward? And that where now war and rumors of war are in abundance, He will be pleased to transform hearts and lives, that lasting peace may be enjoyed in this life, that men, women, and children will be taken out of darkness and brought into the glorious light of Christ. In what do you trust? Where is your hope? Have you ever felt pressured to sin, thinking it's your only option? And which path now are you treading? Are you treading that path set out by Christ? Is the desire of your heart to follow Him, to know His will, to study His Word, to engage with Him in prayer, to attend the worship services, to partake of the sacraments, to fellowship with the saints? Or do you find that this life has a great deal of allure? And there's always tomorrow to get serious about our walk. Pray today that God will bring about peace. Pray today that God will firmly establish you, if He hasn't already, upon the glorious rock of Christ. Pray today that as difficulties befall His people, that we'll not follow the crowd, but that we'll stand upon Christ and upon His Word to the glory of His name, out of a realization that what He has commanded, He has commanded for our good. And what He has promised, He is sure to bring about. Let's look to Him in prayer. Almighty God, we thank You, Lord, that we are not put adrift. Lord, You do not liken those who trust in You as those that are bound upon rough seas. But rather, Lord, You have said that those who put their trust upon You find themselves firmly established as if on Mount Zion itself, immovable and lasting. Not in and of themselves, not because of our own works, not upon our own knowledge, wisdom, or gifts, or strength, but upon Christ, and upon that work which He has accomplished that we could not. And Lord, though we may see rough seas all around us, You, Lord, are pleased to shield Your people, to come alongside them like those mountains that surround Jerusalem, to keep their enemies, Your enemies, at bay. And Lord, there may be difficult times that befall us here, as we know there are many difficult things that have befallen our brethren around the world. Yet we rejoice that You do not leave Your people in a place where wickedness abounds, because You know us. You know our weaknesses. You know, Lord, like children, we are easily led astray. And in Your abundance of love, You protect Your people. Oh Lord, we pray for peace in Israel. We pray, Lord, that peace will exist within this body and throughout Your body around the world. Lord, we pray that as we go forth from this place, as Your ambassadors, Lord, may we go forth with confidence and boldness to share with others our hope in Jesus Christ, that we might see the strength of Your arm on display as You take men, women, and children who, Lord, to this point have been at war against You, and You draw them to Yourself, replacing their hatred for God with a love for the God who laid down His life and who took it up again, that we might be taken from deadness in sin to be made alive in Him. That, Lord, we might be taken from a position where this life was the best we had to hope for. And instead, Lord, where though we may struggle and we may face adversity in this life, now, Lord, our gaze is fixed upon that which lie ahead, an eternity with you, where there'll be no more tears, no more pain, no more sadness, no more death. And where, Lord, you will complete your work, perfecting us, glorifying us, where the encumbrances of sin no longer exist, and where we, your creatures, may operate as you intended, in obedience to your will forevermore. We praise your name for what you have done. And we do so in Christ's name, our Savior. Amen.